Before we get into this episode, I want to let you know that tickets to The One, which is our two-day in-person leadership experience, are now available at early bird pricing. So if you're in Australia or New Zealand, then you're absolutely going to want to check this out. The One is designed to expand leadership capacity with big shifts reported from participants in confidence, communication, directiveness, solutions thinking, decision making, and even conflict resolution. You can check out the case studies over on the website of people who have already done this event and the results they experienced across multiple areas of their lives months later.
It has just been such a catalyst for change.
That's been more impactful, and I've had more revelations and light bulb moments go off than anything that I've ever looked at.
I feel like my perspective has completely shifted. It's been life-changing for me.
Do yourself a favor and get this locked in for yourself before prices go up. Grab your tickets to one of the events in either Australia or New Zealand over at theoneliveevent.com. It's also linked below. Welcome to Lead a New Future. My name's Kate Ruby Aroha, and I'm a senior leadership trainer. Having run leadership events in multiple countries for a very long time, over 15 years, and working with award-winning leadership teams, this podcast is where I share my thoughts, lessons, and insights on leadership in action. So grab a cuppa and let's dive into this conversation. Kia ora everyone, welcome back to the podcast. I hope the audio is okay with this. I'm actually sitting in a hotel room in Bali. I don't have my typical recording equipment, and I've just got a old school AirPods wired into my phone, and I'm sort of holding that little mic piece next to my mouth. I'm sure it will be fine. So this is a conversation today around paying attention to the cues and the signals that change is needed. The thing that I've actually experienced this with myself, and I see a lot around me, is that when these cues and signals come up for us that it's time for a new direction, it's time to make change, it's time for a decision, it's very easy to not hear what these cues and signals are telling us and not pay attention. What we feel is levels of uncomfort and things, but we might misinterpret what that uncomfort is, essentially that cue or that signal or that internal nudge, that tug. And when we misinterpret it, it becomes something else entirely that we experience. And unfortunately, what can happen over time is that those cues and signals can sort of magnify, compound. But what we end up doing is other behaviors to try and dull them down or avoid them, try and get ease and comfort from other places. But over time, if we don't actually deal with the decision that we really need to make or the new direction that we're being called and internally nudged for, then there's some compounding impact that starts to happen. Well, that's what this conversation is about. And it's interesting because we just flew back to Bali in the last couple of days. And this is a place where we lived for almost 10 years, raised our family here. And it was last year that we had a very random conversation with our daughter. And in that conversation, it got very clear for me that the feeling that I was feeling and the things that we were experiencing were actually internal cues that it was time to end this chapter of living in Bali and actually move home to New Zealand. And so actually, this is where this whole conversation is coming from, because, you know, just landing back in Bali in the last few days has had the decision that we made. So there's been some things. And so I thought I would share this conversation. But anyway, so we had this very, I would say, random, unexpected conversation that highlighted for me and had me actually go, oh, shit, you know, this feeling that I'm having, these are cues, these are signals. It is time to close this chapter. And I had a conversation with Hinari, and I would say within 5 minutes of the conversation, you know, we were sort of looking at each other and going, yeah, like we actually had this period where we were sort of looking at each other for quite a bit, not saying a lot. I could tell he was feeling into it as well, the cues and signals. And then it was just like, yeah, it's time to go. Now, we made that decision pretty quickly. I mean, it was done within an afternoon, probably within 2 hours max between when we had that conversation. Zion came home, we ran it past him as well, blah, blah, blah. It was a pretty quick decision. The brewing of the feelings underneath, the cues and the signals, I think we're going for a little bit of time. And we hadn't heard them. We hadn't interpreted them correctly. And, you know, that's kind of normal, right? Is that sometimes the signals might need to brew a bit louder to actually pay attention to them. And that's what this conversation is about paying attention to the signals that we're getting to make a new decision. And the fact is that when we don't, there is impact for us over time. Since going back to New Zealand, I've seen in many instances when I've been talking with people, examples of people who haven't been paying attention to those signals for some of the people I've been talking to, years and years. And it's almost like the uncomfort has built up underneath, but it's become the uncomfort that they used to. And so it occurs as, oh, this is just the way life is. And that uncomfort gets, I guess, compensated for in all sorts of ways. And what I can see and feel on them is like resignation, elements of cynicism, frustration for sure, and then can see the ways in which they are trying to overcompensate for this feeling and do things that aren't going to really get them the thing that they're really, really wanting and needing. And, you know, you might notice that in your own life, and I don't know, it could be in whatever level. Maybe there's been a decision or a new direction that it may be time for. And this may be something that's kind of just popping away on the inside for you, maybe banging away a little bit. And maybe it's time to actually start paying attention to that thing that's banging away on the inside for you. That's really what this conversation is about, is pay attention. And yes, it is a leap of faith to make new decisions and to take new directions is a leap of faith. Absolutely, for sure. And, you know, I guess all I can do here is share my experience of that. You know, last year when we made that decision, it was made, like I said, very fast. But I could feel it in my bones that it was the right decision. Doesn't mean to say that that's not scary, though, that it's not at times as you're walking out that decision that things pop into your mind in terms of like, oof, you know, just, I wonder what's going to happen. How's this part going to be? Blah, 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 blah. What if, you know, in a year's time, we sort of want to make it, you know, like all of that stuff can come up and it's all very normal. It's all very expected. But in my experience, the more we trust ourselves over time, the more we pay attention to those tugs, those internal tugs, and the more we make the decisions and take new directions and keep like letting our lives unfold at newer and newer levels, I think really is the key, then what happens is that we start growing a capacity within us to listen, to pay attention, and to support ourselves as we're actually walking out those decisions, rather than have those, what I see so often is either on one level, people just not paying attention to them, not deciding, staying stuck, not letting their life evolve forward and unfold forward at newer and newer levels. And like that comes with like a whole level of complication. But then the other piece that I see is that, yes, maybe a new decision is made, maybe you're walking out that new decision, but then like really like getting almost like afraid and spooked by the thoughts and the fears of walking through the unknown. And then what happens is, you know, kind of like pumping the brakes and stuff like that. But I guess what I want to say is like the more you prioritize trusting yourself and trusting the journey and trusting where you're being called and trusting the walking out of that decision. And for me, it's trusting those tugs in my heart aren't there accidentally. And trusting that means that, yeah, while I'm walking in the unknown at times, that's the piece that I stand strongly in and that I can, I guess, lean on when it feels like, oh, I don't freaking know where I'm going. I'm kind of walking a little bit blind here. It's like, well, coming back to that unshakable belief that I have for myself is that when I'm strongly pulled somewhere, then all I need to do is trust that and walk the direction of that trust and things work out. And I guess in that sort of unshakable belief that I've developed over the years is that then the walking out of that, it seems to all come together, even if it's not linear, right? It may not be a linear path that I'm walking in a straight line. It might take some curves and some twists, but those curves and twists take us down paths that sometimes unexpected and rich in their learnings. I remember freaking years ago, my goodness, how long was it? I don't know, I was in my late 20s. And you probably know because I've shared it in different podcast episodes, but I had an incredible job. I was a clinical nurse educator. My background is registered nurse. And I was working in this role where I had contracts with the government and stuff. Anyway, I finished up my second and final contract that I did with them. And I was offered the role of nursing manager. So think about late 20s. Being offered the role of being a nursing manager. And talk about a career highlight. Oh my God. And I actually didn't accept it because where I was being tugged, nudged on the inside was in a different direction. And yet that nursing manager role was so enticing because, well, like I actually loved my nursing role. I loved the clinical education piece that I was doing. I was very fulfilled by it. So it wasn't like I was leaving something that wasn't enjoyable. I was leaving something that was actually great. And I was leaving it because there was this strong feeling on the inside that I needed to go in a different direction. And that was a moment of backing myself. You know, I actually remember the day I sat in my office, cried my eyes out in my nursing office at the hospital, cried my eyes out typing my resignation letter. And there was tears like hitting the keyboard as I was getting the words out in this resignation letter to not only turn down this nursing manager's role, but actually resign and then go in the direction of what we are now doing. But it felt like the right choice to make, even though around that there was fear and, am I going to regret this? Is this going to be the biggest fucking regret of my career? And not made easier by the fact that my parents were in shocked disbelief that they really didn't get over for about 10 years, to be quite honest. They're all cool with it now, but it took about 10 years for my mum to really get over it, the fact that I'd left this opportunity. But I think here's the point of it, is that my knowing was clear. There was a strong sense on the inside. And then around that was fear and concerns and all of the blah, blah that your head can kind of flip-flop around on. But there was a sense on the inside. And what I've learned to do is to trust that sense on the inside, even though around that my head can flip-flop with the backwards and forwards, blah, blah, blah. But if we have almost like a decisioning lens to look through. And for me, my decisioning lens is that I pay attention to that strong feeling on the inside and I let that walk me in the direction that I need to go. Even when my head around the edges of all that can't necessarily rationalize it, and sometimes it can too, but this is my decisioning lens that I've approached things through since I was in my, you know, that was probably the big major decision time that I had to make, was that time, you know, in the nursing manager's opportunity role when I handed my resignation in. That's where I really got to galvanize this within me. And then in walking that decision out, it was a matter of faith and trust. And I guess here's what I know now, what is it now, what, 16, 17 years later or whatever the heck it is. I don't know, I can't do my math. I'm 42 now. What I know now is that there is not one decision or one pathway for us. This is what is true for me. There's not one decision or one pathway for us. There is no getting it right and no getting it wrong. You can't fuck it up. How cool is that? Let's say that again with an amen at the end. You cannot fuck this up. What we have in front of us is options and choices. And what I've found to be true is that when we walk a decision out that feels like the best decision we can make with what we have in that point in time, but we walk that decision out, what's going to happen is along that journey, we're going to have experiences that grow us. We're going to have things that come in our way that will move us to the new door. And then doors will keep opening. And then at each door, we make the best decision we can. And then we powerfully walk through that. And so things end up working the way in which they're supposed to because we back ourselves along those decisioning points. And then we powerfully keep moving through it. We support ourselves as we go through that. And so what I'm trying to say is that everything will unfold the way it needs to unfold for you. You know, we've got to where we are now, not because it was an easy decision. And, you know, I'm just thinking now, we're standing here looking at doing our first world tour for our events. And, you know, we are just days away from doing a sold out CEO retreat, which was sold out a long time ago. We've got 16 people flying from all around the world, CEOs, coups, senior managers coming to do a retreat with us. And then we go from there to our Australia leg of the tour. Then we go to the New Zealand leg of the tour. Then we go over to the States and we do our first event in the States. We've also been flown out to the States for free and paid to speak at a big event there. And I guess, you know, all of these cool things have happened and I could not foresee any of this. That day in the nursing manager's office, when I made that decision, I couldn't foresee any of this. But it was in boldly walking out that decision that I made, that decision from paying attention to that feeling on the inside and then supporting myself in the journey. Oh my God, all the things of what it's taken to get here. Then our paths keep unfolding. But the challenge is, and this is a piece I really want you to hear, is that we don't get to have those things unfold for us if we're not making choices and not making new decisions based on that tug on the inside. And those signals and those cues that we're getting, if we're not paying attention to them, then we end up staying, it's almost like staying in a place with our wheels spinning. And, you know, like if you're sort of in mud and your wheels are spinning, then your wheels kind of dig into the ground even further and you kind of get further stuck. That's a sort of sense and vision in my mind when I'm thinking about this, is that when we're not making those choices to move us in new directions, even yes, when they're scary, but we're paying attention to that nudge and having faith to walk it through, then it's like we stay stuck. We spin our wheels and the wheels dig in deeper into the mud and we get stuck further. The way out is through that. The other thing I guess I want to say at this point is that making new decisions doesn't necessarily always mean taking things in new directions, right? Into new directions doesn't always necessarily mean you have to like quit on things. I guess like, and this is a part of paying attention. And the more we can pay attention and make new choices for ourselves, the more we develop and expand within us that capacity to have almost like situational awareness, like what is the thing that's needed here? Where is it that I'm being tugged, right? That develops over time, by the way. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't yet booked to come into the one, I'll get to my point in a minute, but if you haven't yet booked to come to the one and you're in Australia or New Zealand or near Arizona, get to it. Now, you might be listening to this podcast in the future where there's a different event schedule. Cool. Go to theoneliveevent.com and get your ticket. Seriously. A big part, like really what we're doing at The One, is to expand capacity and open up your range for all of these things, including decision making, following what's really in your heart. You'll find that when you come to The One, and I'll get to my point in a minute about what I was about to say, is that a lot of the stuff that's been getting in your way, clunking up your thinking, clunking up your ability to move forward at different levels, gets really sort of like shaken through. So anyway, theoneliveevent.com, go there now, find the location closest to you and get your tickets. You can thank me later. All right. My point that I wanted to say here is that I'll give an example of where in our marriage, I knew that it was time for a new direction. Things were feeling off. I was getting those cues and getting those signals. This is a point that I want to make around this, because sometimes those cues and signals, we might just think, oh, end the relationship. And maybe that's the appropriate decision in certain circumstances. For sure, there will be certain circumstances that leaving a relationship is the appropriate thing to do. There'll be certain circumstances that staying in the relationship is the appropriate thing to do. The best thing to do. It depends. I guess what I'm painting here is a picture of, it's not necessarily always following these nudges a case of stay or leave. The question doesn't have to necessarily be that black and white. And of course, every situation is different. But here for us, in our marriage, in our relationship, when I was paying attention to the signal and this cue of something is needed, a new direction is needed here, what we ended up doing was not ending the marriage. Well, we kind of did. Let me explain. We didn't leave it and then go in our own directions from each other. what we decided to do was create a new context for our relationship so that our relationship itself could head in a new direction. And the context that we created was we decided to, and I'm doing in quotation marks in the air, end our marriage, aka end marriage one that we decided. So we realized, you know, we've been together for 18 years. Let's end this relationship as we know it. We took ourselves away for the weekend. We officially ended our marriage. We did a little ceremony and we're like, that marriage is done. We are no longer married. In essence, with each other, of course, on paper we were. And we're going to spend the next period of time not married. And so we lived in the same house and we had separate rooms and we dated, lived our own lives, decided to do whatever we needed to do individually to grow. And then we just knew we would pay attention to where, and this is like, I guess this is the whole theme of this conversation, right? Is paying attention. Pay attention to those internal feelings. So we decided to pay attention to when we felt that it was time to open up our next marriage together, our next like phase two marriage two. And so it ended up being, I don't know, was it like 18 months or something? I don't know, it was quite a long time that we were independent of each other while sometimes going on dates and things like that. And then the energy, we could feel the shifts with each of us at that period, that phase was done. We had a lot of growth. We had a lot of unpacking of things. We had a lot of working through of things. We had a lot of healing and resolving some old patterns that were in the old relationship. And you know, that's the cool thing. We didn't have to walk away from each other completely to pay attention to those cues and signals that a new direction was needed. We were able to go in a new direction and then recreate a new relationship beyond that. So that's what we did. And then we went away again and we opened up marriage too. We did a little wedding ceremony together, just the two of us. We opened up marriage too and really created together what this meant. I can like honestly say that now we are, I think, about 5-6 months after that wedding ceremony, 6-7 months, I don't know, some of that. We are the closest that we've ever actually been in our entire relationship, but it took taking a new path. So I guess that's the point of this whole conversation is, you know, pay attention, listen to the nudges, listen to where you're being pulled. You know, I think we're always getting cues and signals and they're worth paying attention to. Anyway, I'm sitting here in this hotel room in Bali. And where this whole conversation has come from is the fact that, you know, we are a couple of days after landing back in Bali. It's been, I think, 4.5 months since we left this place and, you know, packed up our almost 10-year lives here and flew to New Zealand to start a new chapter. And it was interesting because coming back here, I didn't know how it would feel. You know, would this feel like home? Blah, 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 blah. But what is very clear, what has been clear this whole time that we've been living back in New Zealand is that paying attention that afternoon, that conversation I had with Bailey, the paying attention to the feelings I had on the inside, and it's bigger than feelings, like the signals I was having, having that conversation with Henare, we paid attention that day, even though the future beyond that was unknown, and it paid off. You know, the last 4 or 5 months, it's been amazing to see Zion relearning what it is to be a New Zealander and to be in New Zealand. He's actually working underneath a phenomenal teacher, a guy that he said is the best teacher he's ever had. And he's learning to speak te reo and he's learning to reconnect to what it is to be Māori and his culture and his language and all of these things. And the growth that he's had within himself over the last 3 or 4 months has been astronomical and was facilitated because we trusted ourselves is the point of this conversation. And, you know, coming back here, I'm just so clear, thankfully, that we trusted ourselves. So I thought I'd come in here and share this conversation for anyone who needs a reminder. And if you need a reminder to trust yourself and to pay attention to the cues and the signals. And it may be that there may be some cues and signals that have been gone unlistened to for quite a long time, just start paying attention. Like the cool thing is that we can re-choose new directions at any point. We can choose to bring in freshness and to take new paths. I think my final message that I will finish this conversation on is that life can be very juicy. Life gets to be full of experiences that grow us and expand us, and newness and freshness. It may be about bringing newness and freshness into our relationships, into ourselves, into our environment, into our outlooks, into our career, into our business, whatever it is, any level. Just pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Thanks for listening to the podcast. This is a reminder that if you're in Australia or New Zealand and you haven't yet got your tickets to The One, then go to the website now, find the location closest to you and get it sorted. Early bird tickets will be ending soon.
Man, massive breakthroughs, like unbelievable.
Having the balls to actually be myself and not run away from challenges that I've probably run away from in the past and take them head on.
It's taken me to another place. Yeah. I'm just not the same person that I was when I walked in.
If you get an opportunity to experience this event, do it for you and everyone around you.